There's been a beautiful push in the neighborhood, as you've seen, to try to dedicate the 3 weeks to the study of Achdus and Avas Yisrael, which is obviously a very appropriate thing for us to be talking about this time of the year. Many drashos have been and will be dedicated in the weeks ahead to the topic of Avas Yisrael. And tonight I want to offer a shiur, which hopefully can shed some light on the challenge and the very nuanced, fine line between achdus and individuality. Because I think, on the one hand, we have to recognize that Klal Yisrael are a tzibur, and being a tzibur is what makes Klal Yisrael who we are. And at the same time, the notion of tzibur is never meant to trample the individual neshamos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, the individual strengths that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. And sometimes when you think about achdus, we immediately start to lose sense of the individual. When we focus on the individual, we lose sense of the tzibur. And I want to try to, again, share some food for thought on the delicate balance between the two. The mechilas, those who were at the Shabbos morning drasha that I gave downstairs, I want to borrow a little bit from it just for a couple of moments to get us started, because I think it sets the backdrop for really what I'd like to further develop tonight. We raised the question Shabbos morning that the month that's coming upon us in the next couple of days, Rosh Chodesh, of course, is this Friday, is the month of Menachem Av. And the name of the month, Menachem Av, requires an explanation. Right? The way the Klal Yisrael refer to it as Menachem Av requires an explanation. So I mentioned Shabbos morning two explanations from the Tamei HaMenhagim, from the Sefer Tamei HaMenhagim. Menachem Av perhaps means that Menachem Aleph Beis, we want to offer Nechama to the Aleph Beis. Because the Aleph Beis, which tells us in Maseches Brachos, was used to create the entire universe, the building blocks of creation, the Aleph through Tav, those 22 letters, unfortunately have traditionally used for the last 1900 years to recite Megillas Eicha, to recite the Kos, many of which are written throughout the generations in alphabetical order. And therefore, we want to offer to the Aleph Beis. We apologize, Beis. We've used you to mourn our losses, to express our sorrow and our pain. And halavai, we should be able to use the Aleph Beis in a way that sings songs of praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So perhaps Menachem Av, Menachem Aleph Beis, interesting explanation, we want to offer Nechama to the Aleph Beis, that it should be able to recover from sort of the negative way which we've been forced to use it throughout the generations. And then the Tamei HaMenhagim offers a second explanation, that Menachem Av is Menachem Av, Avinu Shava Shemayim. The way that he actually says it is that Menachem Av, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, Avinu Shva Shemayim, our Father in Heaven, tries to bring Nechama to himself, because Klal Yisrael have failed to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nechama. Compares it to a father who's trying to console himself. But I think, again, as a mission statement for us in the month of Av, obviously, Menachem Av is a charge to us to try to bring Nechama to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mourning alongside us, and Hashem is even more pained than we are, when he looks at Har Abayis and he sees a mosque in the place where the Beis HaMikdash should stand. So therefore, our avoda for the month of Chodesh Av is to somehow give Nechama to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We raised the question Shabbos morning, how is it possible for us to give Nechama to Hashem? In general, giving anything to Hashem is a difficult notion. What do we give HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We read about Karbanos this past Shabbos, all the offerings that we offer Hashem. What does it mean to offer a Karban to Hashem? Does Hashem eat our carbon? Does Hashem enjoy the smell of our carbon? What does it mean to offer something to Hashem? There's a medrash in Parshas Emor on the pasuk in Iyov, Mihik Dimani Vashalem, who can precede me and I will pay him, where the medrash says, anytime you try to do for God, Hashem did for you first. A person says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I sing praises to you. I sing praises to your name. Hashem says, and what inspires those praises? The neshama that I gave you. I gave you a neshama to be able to sing to me. Hashem, I circumcised my child. Hashem says, I gave you the child. Hashem, I put a makkah on my roof. Hashem says, I gave you the roof. I put a mezuzah on my door. I gave you the house. I put tzitzis on my begadim. I gave you the clothing. And the list goes on and on and on. And the list concludes, Mi hifrish lefanai karban ashel nasati lo behema. A person says, I gave you karbanos. Hashem says, but I gave you the animals. Mi hikdimani vashalem. There's nothing that we can give Hashem. So how do we give HaKadosh Baruch Hu comfort after 2,000 years of galus? What can we possibly do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So I mentioned Shabbos morning. I want to read the Lashon again. It's kedai to hear it again. The words of the Tana de Bei Eliyahu in chapter 28. Amazing words. The Tana de Bei Eliyahu says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, V'kach amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu li Yisrael. This is what Hashem says to us. I don't need your karbanos, even though of course I desire them. I don't need your tfilos, even though of course I desire them. I don't need your mitzvos, even though of course we're bound by them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, Banai Ahuvai, my beloved children, Klum chasarti davar shavakesh mikam. Am I lacking anything that I need you to supply me with it? Ma ani mevakesh mikam? So what can I possibly ask of you? Ha'ein ani mevakesh mikam ella shetiu oavin ze'ezeh v'tiu mechabdin ze'ezeh. Hashem says a simple recipe. I want you to love each other and I want you to respect each other. I want my children to get along. Menachem Av. You want to bring the Chamah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the month of Av? It starts with what? Treating Hashem like a father. And a parent wants nothing more than that the children and the siblings should get along with each other. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks down and he sees that we get along with each other, it's the biggest nechama that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could possibly receive from us. It's maybe the only thing that we can do for Hashem. Banai Ahuvai, my beloved children, Hashem calls us in the Medrash. Only thing I ask of you is Shetiu Oavin Ze'ezeh, V'tiu Mechabdin Ze'ezeh. The Marsha mentions in Meseches Bechoros and Daf Ches that the 21 days of the 3 weeks, now you'll say it's really 22 days, okay, that's a big discussion which we're not going to have right now. 21 days, 22 days, we call it 3 weeks, it's really more than 3 weeks, if you do the math, it comes out to 22 days, but the Marsha says these 21 days of the 3 weeks, again, different ways to explain why maybe it's only 21 days, Tisha B'Av is sort of a double day, on the one hand, half the day is sad, but then we pick ourselves up, the midpoint of the day, okay, whatever it may be. The Marsha says the 21 days from Shiva Sarva Tammuz until Tisha B'Av correspond to the 21 days from Rosh Hashanah to Hashana Rabbah. The Marsha writes in Meseches Bechoros Daf Ches. The after of the Oiv Yisrael, the Oiv Yisrael, fitting person to quote in such a shir, the after Rav said that the 21 days of the 3 weeks correspond to a different 21 days. He had a different calculation. He says it corresponds to 21 holidays that we have throughout the calendar year, including Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. So he says if we had Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh and Pesach and Shavuos and Pesach and Sukkot and Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, it's also 21 days. However you cheshbon it, really 21 days, 22 days, in a certain sense, Tisha B'Av corresponds to Shmini Atzeres. Maybe Simchas Torah, maybe in Chutz La'aretz. Right? Let's talk about Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres is how we end Parshas Pinchas. As we enter into the 3 weeks, we always read Parshas Pinchas. So this past Shabbos, right, the lesson that we took with us coming out of Shabbos into the Bein HaMitzarim, continuing the Bein HaMitzarim, is one of what? The last of the Karbanos that we talk about is Shmini Atzeres. What do we know about Shmini Atzeres? How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu describe his feeling towards Klal Yisrael on Shmini Atzeres? Kasha alai predasa. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way of saying, after so much Yom Tov, I want you to stick around a little bit longer because it's hard to let go. The separation is difficult. But as many, many Svarim explain, Kasha alai predasa is HaKadosh Baruch Hu looking at the Jewish people over the course of a Yom Tov and seeing how Klal Yisrael come together when we celebrate a Yom Tov. And Hashem says, Kasha elai predasam. It's not only hard for me to let go of you. It's hard for me to see each of you go your separate ways after the Yom Tov. I heard a beautiful insight at the Bar Mitzvah of Menachem Willig. Rabbi Yehuda Willig, one of my colleagues from YU, his son's Bar Mitzvah, a couple of years ago, was at the Bar Mitzvah. And his grandfather got up to speak. Not Rav Mordechai Willig, his other grandfather, Dr. Weinberger. Grandfather of the Bar Mitzvah boy. He said such a beautiful insight. He said, after celebrating a Shabbos, it was a party on a Sunday, I believe. And he said, after a Shabbos where the whole family was together, he asked the question on Shmini Atzeres. He says, what exactly is Kasha Elai Predasam? Hashem says, it's hard for me to see you go. As if when we go back to our regular lives, Hashem is not with us. Melocho La'aretz Kavodo. Hashem is with you, whether you're in your office in Midtown Manhattan, or whether you're sitting in a sukkah, or you're dancing with the Sefer Torah on Simchas Torah. What's the Kasha Elai Predasam? It's hard to let go. Do we have to let go of God after celebrating a Yom Tov? But he said, the Kasha Elai Predaschem is exactly this. Kasha Elai Predaschem, it's hard for me, Hashem says, seeing Klal Yisrael come together. It's hard for me to see you go for ways. And the grandfather Bar Mitzvah boy said so beautifully, after a Shabbos with the whole family together celebrating the Bar Mitzvah, he was reflecting, it's sad, come to the end of the Bar Mitzvah, it's sad that all the family members go back their separate ways. Kasha Elai Predaschem, feeling that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. That's the last of, so to speak, these 20 or 22 days, however you calculate it, again, whether it's the Marsha and Bechoros, Erev Yisrael, the after of in Parshas Pinchas. But in a certain sense, Tisha B'Av corresponds to Shmini Atzeres. In other words, part of the tikkun of Tisha B'Av is the realization that it pains HaKadosh Baruch Hu deeply when Klal Yisrael are not connected to each other the way they're supposed to be connected. I mentioned Shabbos morning a beautiful story about the Rupshitzer, of Naftali of Rupshitz. When he was a young boy, he said he learned an amazing lesson in Avas Yisrael and humility from his Malamed. His Rebbe was teaching him how to read Chumash, how to read the letters. He was practicing reading a Chumash, a Siddur. And he taught him, his Rebbe taught him, he said, whenever you see in a Siddur or a Chumash, two dots next to each other, right? The smallest letter of the Hebrew alphabet is a Yud, looks like a little dot. When you see two Yuds next to each other, a dot next to a dot, you should pronounce it as the name of Hashem. Like you see in Siddur, Baruch Atah Hashem, Yud Yud. Why is Yud Yud a code name for Hashem? So the Sfarim explained, it's the way that Hashem's name is written, and the way that Hashem's name is pronounced. Hashem's name is written Yud Kei Vav Kei, it starts with a Yud. And we pronounce it, the Shem Adnus, we pronounce it Aleph, Dalet, Nun, and Yud, which ends with a Yud. So Yud Yud represents the name of Hashem as it's written and as it's pronounced. So he taught him, when you see two Yuds next to each other, you don't read it the way one would sound out, you know, two Yuds, but you pronounce it Aleph, Dalet, Nun, and Yud. You pronounce it as the name of Hashem. So little Rav Naftali of Rupshitz is practicing his Kriya, he's reading along. And all of a sudden, he gets to the end of a pasuk, and he sees at the end of a pasuk in his siddur, his chumash, whatever it was, he sees a kolon, also what looks like two little yuds, a dot on top of a dot. So he pronounces it as the name of Hashem. And the Malamed says, no, that's not the name of Hashem. He said, but Rebbe, you told me whenever you have two dots next to each other, you pronounce it as the name of Hashem. He said, no. When you have the two dots, when you have the two yuds next to each other, that's the name of Hashem. But when you have, so to speak, a yud on top of a yud, you have a dot on top of a dot, that's just a colon. That's just a grammatical notation telling you that, you know, this is the end of the pasuk. The Rav Shitzer said when he got older, he realized his Rebbe was teaching him such a deep teaching. His Rebbe was teaching him that when you have two yuds, what's a yud? A yid. A Jew is called a yud. When you have two yudin next to each other, when a Jew stands alongside his fellow Jew, that's Shem Hashem. That's a Kiddush Hashem. That brings the presence of Hashem into that place. But God forbid if you have a yud on top of a yud, if you have a Jew who holds himself or herself higher than another Jew, that's Sof Pasuk, that's the end of the Pasuk. That causes a break in the flow of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, or the break of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Tefillah. Right? And the Rav Shitzer said, now I understand the Pshat of the Pasuk in Kedoshim. V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. When a Jew loves a fellow Jew, and stand side by side with a fellow Jew, with care and concern and sensitivity for a fellow Jew. Mamish side by side, not one Jew on top of another Jew, but a Jew alongside another Jew. What's the end of the pasuk? V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, ani Hashem. That spells Hashem's name. That's what the Rav Shitzer says he learned from his Rebbe when he was just a little boy. I'll add to an amazing thing I once saw in a sefer. The Hebrew letter tzadi, or sometimes pronounced tzadik, is written in the Sefer Torah as a nun with a yud on top of it. So I once saw an explanation of why is that letter called a tzaddik. Right? Nun represents, in general, nun is a very humble letter for a variety of reasons. There's no nun in Ashrei, it's in Nefila. Nun means, nun is hunched over. The letter tzaddi is written as a nun with a yud on its back. What's a tzaddik? A tzaddik is a Jew who humbles himself and carries another yud, carries a yid, so to speak, on his back. He supports another Jew. So they ask a question, so what about the letter Aleph? The letter Aleph also carries a Yud on its back. How do you draw an Aleph in a Sefer Torah? Right, it's a Yud resting on top of a Vav. So the Sefer answer, no, we have to understand. An Aleph also what? Why is it not called Tzaddik? Why is it called Aleph? Because an Aleph, it may have a Yud on top, but it also has a Yud beneath its feet. It also has a Yud under it. That's not a Tzaddik. A Tzaddik is what? Is the one who carries the Yud on top of him, so to speak, and never places a Yud, never places a fellow Jew beneath him. And they even say that in the Ksav of the Arizal, the way that the Arizal writes a Tzadi, the Yud on top of the Nun, in the drawing of the Tzadi, is a backwards Yud. As if to say, according to the Arizal, which is an even deeper Ksav, it's as if to say that when a Yud is backwards, and you see a Jew and they're a backwards Jew, they're a strange Jew, they do things very differently than you. And you still carry them, so to speak, you still support them, you still provide for them, because you understand this is a fellow Jew. That's a real tzaddik. That's a true tzaddik, according to the Ksav of the Arizal. A Jew has to understand, we have to understand. Right? It's so important for us to understand that we all come from one shoresh, and to recognize that common ground that we all come from. The Ben Ish Chai, in one of his beautiful drashos on Parshas Pinchas, he asks a question on yesterday's Haftorah. The Haftorah says that Yirmiyahu HaNavi is shown a vision. And Hashem says, Yirmiyahu, what do you see? He asks him, do you know how to see what I'm showing you? Yirmiyahu, what do you see? And Yirmiyahu responds, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Va'amar, makel shaked ani roeh. I see what? An almond branch. I see the branch of an almond tree. And Hashem says to Yirmiyahu, oh, good. Hey, tafta liros, you're seeing good. Ki shoked ani al devari la'asoso. I'm going to be shoked, right? Like shkedim. I'm going to be shoked. I'm going to be swift to carry out my intentions, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. Rashi has an interesting comment there. Rashi says that an almond grows in 21 days. And again, it corresponds to these 21 days between Shiva Asar Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. Okay. But the Ben Ish Chai asks an interesting question. And the answer is abundantly obvious if you stop to ask the question. Why does Yirmiyahu notice the almond branch? Makel Shaked. The whole drasha, Hashem says, oh, good. You recognize the Shkedim, Shaked? It's a Lashon Ki Shoked Ani, that I'm going to be diligent to carry out my mission. The point is the almonds. That almonds grow quickly. The branch is a branch. Why does Yirmiyahu notice the branch? Why does Hashem say, oh, Yirmiyahu, good, you're paying attention. You notice that almonds come from a branch. And the Ben Ish Chai explains the very obvious answer. That Yirmiyahu HaNavi was saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know what you're looking for. You want me to notice that while each almond is so beautiful, almonds are a very beautiful nut, a beautiful fruit, right? The almonds themselves, the independent olives, all come from one branch. And we have to recognize the branch. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yirmiyahu. Oh, very good. You're recognizing. You understand. That part of the problem here between Shiva Sarva Tammuz and Tisha B'Av is that everyone's trying to produce their own fruit. And Klal Yisrael not recognizing that common branch, the Makel Shaked, that unites them and binds them together. So the challenge becomes then, and this is really the challenge I want to think about tonight, if it's so important that we recognize the branch, we recognize the root, we recognize the common ground, that a Yid has to stand alongside a fellow Yid and never try to elevate himself or herself above another Jew. At the same time, the challenge is, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us as Yechidim, that every Jew is a world unto himself or herself. And it becomes difficult to understand, how do I balance Achdus with my own individuality? In fact, we can draw on yesterday's Parsha once again. When Moshe Rabbeinu is being told, or asking, partnering with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to find a new leader for Klal Yisrael, why is Yehoshua selected? What's his outstanding character trait? Rashi tells us, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Yefkod Hashem Elokei HaRuchos L'chol Basar. Hashem, the God of all spirits, I want you to help me to identify a person in Isha La'eda, to find someone who's going to be able to shepherd the Jewish people, Asher Yetzei Lifneim, Asher Yavo Lifneim, to guide them, to take them out, to bring them in, to provide for them, that Klal Yisrael shouldn't be like sheep without a shepherd. And then, of course, Yehoshua is selected. Why is Hashem referred to as Elokei HaRuchos? So Rashi says something very insightful. Rashi says, Elokei HaRuchos Lama Nemar, Amar Lefanav Ribono Shel Olam. Moshe Rabbeinu said, having been the leader of Klal Yisrael for 40 years, you know one of the main techniques that a person has to have, or tools, character, traits that a person has to have to be a successful leader, especially a Jewish leader? Two Jews, three opinions at least, right? At least. Goloi V'yadua Lefanecha. Daito shall call echad ve'echad. Hashem, you are Elokei HaRuchos. You know that every Jew has a different spirit, a different temperament. You're the God of spirits. You know that every Jewish neshama is a world unto itself. Ve'ein andomen zeh lezeh. No two Jews are alike. You know how hard it is to be a leader who's able to shepherd the people the way that a shepherd provides for the flock as an entity, but also is able to recognize the needs of each individual sheep? You know how hard it is to be able to look at the community and to focus on communal needs and to focus on Klal Yisrael needs and not to lose sight of the individuals? And Yehoshua is selected specifically for that reason. Hashem, you're an Elokei HaRuchos. You know, of course you do, you're God. You know how every Jew is unique, is a world unto himself. Mana Aleihem Manig, Hashem, please help me find, if such a thing exists, a person exists in the world, a manig, a leader, she'ei sovel kol echad ve'echad lefi daita. A leader who's sovel. I love the lashon. Sovel. Sovel just means you can bear them. You can put up with them. It's hard to love them already is another madrega. But someone who could just put up with the needs, right? That there's a kahila, but there's also individuals in a kahila. And this one wants it to be this way, and this one wants it to be that way. To be able to recognize the individual needs, and to be able to do that in the context of a sibur, it takes someone who's kamat on the level of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Elokei HaRuchos. And Yeshua was such a person. Yeshua, in his humility, as we know about Yeshua from other Rashis in Torah, much like his Rebbe Moshe Rabbeinu, was able to identify the needs of each individual. See, the mistake people make about Achdus is that when we think about Achdus, immediately we start to think, okay, so how can we get more Jews to be alike? And that's not what Achdus is. Jewish unity, like the Medrash I mentioned earlier, Ohavin Zeh u'mechabdin Zeh. It doesn't say, be more like each other. Dress more similar to each other. Think more similar to each other. Adapt to each other's outlooks and hashkafos. That's not what it's asked of us. What's asked of us is to respect one another. To be able to express our individuality, but to do so, again, in the context of a tzibur. The Gemara in Bracha says in Daf Nun Ches that no two people think alike and no two people look alike. There's another Tosefta, another statement of Chazal, which has three things on the list. No two people look physically alike. No two people sound exactly alike. It's an interesting thing. You hear someone's voice. It has a unique sound, an individual sound to it. And no two people think alike. So I saw brought in the name of the Beis Yisrael, the Ger Rebbe. Apparently it's also said by Rav Shlomo Eger, the son of Rabbi Akiva Eger. They both said the same thing. Imagine a person's walking down the street. And all of a sudden you see someone coming in your direction. And you walk over to them and you say, I am so insulted. I am so hurt by you. What did I do? I forgot to invite you to my simcha. What did I do wrong? Can't you see that I have blue eyes? How do you have the audacity to have brown eyes? It's so hurtful to me. The person's crazy, right? Don't you see I have brown hair, whatever's left of it, right? I have brown hair. How could you have black hair? How could you have blonde hair, right? Don't you see my nose is very narrow? Why is your nose a little bit wide? That's a crazy thing to say to a person. And the Gemara tells us, that's how Hashem made me. What do you mean? Of course you wouldn't be insulted that I look physically different than you. I have a deep voice. Why do you have such a shrill voice? No two people have the same voice. That's what the Gemara says. So said the Beis Yisrael, the Ger Rebbe, said Rav Shlomo Eger, they both said the same part. So why is it that sometimes we do get insulted when someone thinks different than me? It's the same Maamar Chazal. No two people look alike. No two people sound alike. No two people think alike. So why are people so upset sometimes that someone has a different outlook, that someone can look at the same set of circumstances and come to a different conclusion? It's as irrational as looking at another person and saying, why don't you look more like me? HaKadosh Baruch Hu made me that way. Hashem programmed me to see things differently. And it's okay for Klal Yisrael to have different people to come to different conclusions. That's not a breach in our Achdus. When Klal Yisrael crossed through the Yam Suf, amazing example, you know, there's no greater moment where Klal Yisrael are becoming a tzibur than when we left Mitzrayim. And yet Chazal tell us, in the Medrash Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, that as we walk through the Yam Suf, HaKadosh Baruch Hu split the Yam Suf into 12 different paths. Each Shevet should travel on their own path. In fact, the Satmar Revi quotes a Medrash Shir Ashirim in his Haggadah that says, apparently a Nusach, that there were 600,000 paths, that every Jew had his own path through the Yam Suf. But okay, the more traditional approach, there were 12 paths through the Yam Suf. If you look in Medrash Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, and I did, I saw it with my eyes, it says that the walls that separated them were walls of water. And it emphasizes that the walls were transparent. In other words, when I'm traveling through my path in the Yam Suf, I'm able to see what's doing by my neighbor in either direction. So the Papa Rav asked the following shaila. Chassidus Rebbe, the Papa Rav asked the following shaila. Mima nafshach. If we're all going to travel together, so then why are you building walls? And if you're building walls, so what's the point of having walls that are transparent? And the Papa Rav said, it's exactly how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to be. A Jew has to know, I have a derech. This is my derech, this is my path. And Hashem wants me to be proud of my path and to walk my path. But never, God forbid, to put up a wall that I'm not willing to even look to see what's doing by someone else, to look into the next lane over, a little bit to my right or a little bit to my left of my perfect hashkafic balance, and say, you know what, in that community, that doesn't mean I'm going to join that community, but in that community, you know, they have this thing in their educational system worked out a little bit better. together. Or not, you know, they may have certain, doesn't fit my hashkafa, but they have a remarkable way when it comes to their chesed organizations. A certain sensitivity that they have that we can learn from. To be able to look into the lane next door and to still be able to be proud of your own derech. That's exactly the way it's supposed to be. That's what Jewish unity is about. That we can be able to recognize that every member of Klal Yisrael has something to contribute. It's not a contradiction to working together, that each one of us has our own path and our own lane. But again, never, God forbid, to build a wall that stops me from looking into the lane next door. How did we get into Galus to begin with? We go back to Mamish, the origin of Galus. It's Yosef and the brothers. It's a group of brothers who didn't understand a brother who had a different derech. Yosef had a different derech. And the other brothers thought he was a Rasha. The same way that Avram has a bad son and Yitzchak has a bad son. Yaakov has a bad son. You know, bad apples. The black sheep in the family. We got to get rid of Yosef. And of course, in the end, they had terrible charata. Yosef is a tzaddik. Yosef is a manhig. Yosef is a leader, a savior, not only of the Jewish people, but of the whole world. And Yosef reveals himself to his brothers, the epic, you know, cliffhanger, the end of Mikates, the beginning of Vayigash. Yosef reveals himself. He tells the brothers, don't feel bad. This was all part of Hashem's master plan. And he sends the brothers back to Yaakov Avinu. And Yosef warns them, Vayishlach ezecha vayelechu, vayomer aleihem al tirgazu badarach. Don't become agitated on the road. And Rashi has a number of explanations. Al tirgazu badarach. Rashi says, maybe make sure that when you travel, you don't travel at night. It's dangerous to be on the road at night. Make sure you get into a city when it's still light out. Okay, good practical advice. Al tirgazu badarach, don't blame each other and say, it's your fault. No, it's your fault. Getting into a fight. How did Yosef end up being sold? Yosef says, I don't want you to fight any further. Let's try to get it together now. This is all part of Hashem's master plan. Go tell Father, I'm alive. Things are going to be okay. Okay, different explanations. There's a magnificent explanation from the Majid Sarebi. The Divrei Yisrael, the first Majid Sarebi, passed away in 1910. He actually quotes from his grandfather, Rav Yecheskel of Kushmir, but it's quoted in the Sefer Divrei Yisrael of Majids. He says, my grandfather explained, Al tirgazu baderech, ratzalomar bedarche hachasidus. Don't become agitated with someone's derech. What does it mean? Hainu, kisha'ata oved lahaborius baruch al pi eza derech. I serve HaKadosh Baruch. I went to this yeshiva. I'm part of this community. I see myself of this, you know, hashkafic bent. And all of a sudden I see someone else, they do things a little bit differently. And it bothers me. Ki'ilu, it's my way or the highway. I'm the only one who knows how to serve Hashem the right way. When a person sees that I serve Hashem in a particular derech, u'kisha'ata roa shechavercha einu oved al derech zeh, sha'ata holich. And my friend, my neighbor, right, one town over, or literally the person next door, or maybe one of my own children, or maybe one of my own siblings, or my parents, have a slightly different derech in Avodas Hashem. Al tirgazu baderech, ki har bei drachim yesh ba'avodas habarias barach shema. Because there are many l'charchila, legitimate paths in the service of a Kodesh Baruch. Klal Yisrael could still be united, could still be ohev in zeh, mechab in zeh, despite the fact that what? Each Jew has a different derech. Al tirgazu baderech. Yosef said, if we learned anything from our initial falling out, it's that you have to learn to respect my way, I'll respect your way. V'shalom al Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael can build like that. 12 paths through the Yom Suf on the way to Kabbalah Satorah. It's not a contradiction to being a tzibur, to being a united Klal Yisrael. Maybe the greatest example in Chumash of Klal Yisrael being united and at the same time individuals is in Parshas Naso. 176 psukim, and why is the parsha so long? Right, chapter 7 of Chumash Bamidbar, 89 psukim, because it sounds like we're reading the same psukim over and over and over again, because we are. Right? 12 nesiim, from Nachshon ben Aminadav of Shevet Yehuda, all the way to Achira ben Einan of Shevet Naphtali, 12 tribal leaders bringing karbanos, the exact same karban over and over and over again. So we say, Rabbana Sholem, people are getting agitated, you know. People are squirming in their seats during Kriyas HaTorah. Right? People want to get to Kiddush. People want to get to lunch. I have a great idea. List the 12 tribal leaders. List the karban that they all brought once. And then say, by the way, you should just know, all 12 of them brought the following offering. Karban, karas kesef achas, shlosh v'mei ha-mishkalah. Right? We know the lading. One silver bowl, 130 shekel. One silver basin, 70 shekel. A golden ladle, 10 shekel. The following animal offering. Then it just goes again and again and again and again. 12 times. What's the pshat? The Ramban writes, he explains, that initially they intended to bring it all in one day, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, I want you each to bring it on your own day. So, to reflect that, the Torah spaces it out, and the Torah also highlights each one on their own day. Okay, but still, you gotta wonder, Hashem, you still could have written it. The Torah, which is so sensitive to every letter and every word, the Torah doesn't waste ink, doesn't waste space, that the Torah repeats 89 psukim over and over and over and over again. Karban, oh, karas kesef achat, again and again and again. The Ramban quotes a medrash. And again, to me, this captures in the most succinct way the balance between tzibur and yachid. That there could be a klal Yisrael that has superficially the same thing, and yet, on a deeper level, on the level of kavana, on the level of pnimius, each Jew is able to bring his own flavor, so to speak, to the mitzvah. Says the Ramban in the name of the Medrash, each Nasi brought the exact same karban, but with a totally different kavana. A totally different intent. Can you imagine? 12 Nasiim being mechavein to the exact same karban, a silver bowl, 130 shekel, a silver basin, 70 shekel, a golden ladle, 10 shekel. Animal offerings. Each one brought the exact same karban, but each one had a different kavana in why he was bringing dafka that thing, and dafka that measure, and dafka that price. What an amazing thing. Because that's exactly how every mitzvah that we do is. Every Jew shakes a lulav, keeps Shabbos, keeps kosher. And yet the kavana, we daven the same Shmona Esrei. But your Shmona Esrei is not my Shmona Esrei. My Shmona Esrei is not your Shmona Esrei. And from one day to the next, it's not the same Shmona Esrei. It's always a unique Shmona Esrei. To be able to have a certain framework, the outer trappings that unite all of us, a Shulchan Aruch, the 613 mitzvos, but to be able to say that my Shabbos is my Shabbos, and your Shabbos is your Shabbos, and your tefillah is your tefillah, and my tefillah is my tefillah. That there's a common ground between us, a common denominator in the tefillah, and yet each Jew is able to bring his own kavana. That to me is the perfect balance, again, of the tzibur and the yachid coming together. I have a little sefer at home. It's called Sefer Derech HaTova VaYishara. It's written by a Belzer Chassid, Shalom Yosef Klein. And the Hakdamah to the sefer, it describes a little bit about this Jew, this Shalom Yosef Klein. He was a Belzer Chassid, but he loved all the tzaddikim. He used to travel to different Hasidic courts to learn by different rabbis, different hanhagos, different ways in Avodas Hashem to try to bring himself closer to Hashem. And he was once sitting by a Malav Malka. And different people were sharing different stories, what they saw by this tzaddik or by that tzaddik. And they asked him, they said, Nu, what do you want to share? You've been to a lot of tzaddikim. You've seen a lot of great people, great Talmidei Chachamim. Tell us something. Tell us something you've observed. And he said such a beautiful line. He said, wherever I go, wherever I spend Shabbos, he says, wherever I hear the davening, he says, everyone says the same words of the Kel Adon of Shabbos morning. He says, but each kehillah sings it with a different tune. It's the same words, the same Kel Adon HaKol HaMasim. It's the same Rabbono Shalom that we're all trying to serve. Right? But there's many different tunes that a person, different nigunim that a person could use in order to express that appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch. Such a beautiful, again, description of how, on the one hand, we're all serving the same God, but we're able to do it each in our own unique way. The Chafetz Chaim was once asked, and it's quoted in the Chafetz Chaim al HaTorah in Parshas Re'eh, wouldn't it be better for Hashem if all Jews were the same? The question was actually asked to the Chafetz Chaim, why does Hashem need Hasidim and Misnagdim? And the questioner said, and even amongst the Hasidim, there's so many different types of Hasidim. There's Baba of Hasidim, and there's Bel's Hasidim, and there's Breslov Hasidim. Those are just the ones that start with the letter B, you know. There's so many Hasidim, so many groups. And there's this one, and there's that one. What do you need? What does Hashem need it for? It makes it so confusing. Wouldn't it be better if Klal Yisrael had Aderech? And the Chafetz Chaim responded so simply. The Chafetz Chaim said, before you ask a question on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, let me ask you a question. The Tsar in Russia, he has a military. And his military is made up of an army and a navy and an air force, etc., etc. So why does the Russian Tsar need such a diversified army? You know, meaning whatever's the best, that's what you should have. Everyone should be, you know, in that unit. So if the air force is the best, everyone should be in the air force. If the army is the best, everyone should be in the army. If being in a tank is the best way to fight a war, so everyone should be in tanks. What do you need soldiers on the ground? What do you need people on horseback, right? You know, whatever, in each generation. You know, people by boat, people by air, people on land. So the fellow said, well, obviously, when you're fighting a war, so the enemy may attack in a variety of ways, so you need to be prepared to respond in a variety of ways. So Chafetz Chaim said, it's exactly the same thing in Ruchnius. The Yetzirah is waging a war against Klal Yisrael and against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the way to fight the battle is in a lot of different ways. The Yetzirah comes with many different attacks. So you need some Jews who are going to be outstanding in tefillah. And you need some Jews who are going to sit yomam v'layla learning in kol. And you need some Jews who are going to make a lot of money and give a lot of tzedakah. And you need some Jews who are going to do like this, and some Jews are going to do like that. He said, that's why you have chassidim, you have esnagim. Amongst the chassidim, this one emphasizes this, and this one emphasizes that. And each yeshiva has its own way, and each kehila has its own way. And the Chabad says, it's not even a shayla. That's the way you win the battle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs a diversified army in order to win the war. It was so obvious to the Chafetz Chaim that it was not a contradiction, again, to the success of Klal Yisrael to have Jews being able to express their individual strengths in their own way. It's not a contradiction to the unity. In fact, it rounds out the Tzivos Hashem, the army of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and helps us to be successful in winning the war. Every Jew has a letter in the Torah. Amazing idea the Arugas HaBosim brings in Parshas Yisrael. He says that when the Jews stood at Har Sinai, every Jew, amazing, he quotes from Kadmonim, every Jew knew his or her letter in the Torah. There's such a notion that every Jew has a corresponding letter of the Torah. I ask a question, there's how many letters in the Torah? We always talk about 600,000 letters. Right? Really, there's 304,805 letters in the Torah. 304,805. Right? How many Jews in the world today? 14 million or so, 15 million. Right? So how does every Jew have a letter? Okay, so a lot of different answers to that question. Letters are made up of other letters, like I mentioned earlier. Right? An aleph is made up of a yud, an avav, and a yud. So it could be you break down the letters, you get many more pieces that way. But every Jew has a letter. And when the Jews came out of Mitzrayim, they came to Kabbalah Satorah. The Arugas HaBosem, the Rebbe from Chust, says in Parshas Yisro, B'Shem Kadmonim, every Jew stood at Har Sinai and knew exactly what his or her letter was. But more than that, he says, Klal Yisrael lined up and spelled out a human Sefer Torah. Everyone took their place. Imagine Moshe Rabbeinu with the Beis of Bereishis, Aaron standing by his side, the Reish. Right? They lined up. Klal Yisrael lined up and spelled out a human Sefer Torah. Amazing idea. But what's amazing about it is that if a Jew decides, I don't like my letter, I want to be my friend's letter. Right? A person has a lack of an appreciation of what my letter is, what my place is in Torah. If we think that unity means we all have to be the same, and everyone decides, I want to be the Beis of Bereishis. Right? So then we have a puzzle Sefer Torah. If Jews are too close to each other, the same way there's a halach in Safras of Chok Tochos, that every letter has to be surrounded by the white of the parchment, if the letters are touching, that's a problem. If the letters are too far apart, that's also a problem. So Klal Yisrael have to strike a very delicate balance between, again, knowing one's place, Makiris Makoma, one of the Kinyanei Torah, Pirkei Avos, knowing one's place, identifying my letter, being proud of my derech, but again, Ovin Zezeh U'machavin Zezeh, respecting my fellow Jew, and making sure that I'm a chabib, my fellow Jew. That I'm able, like we learned from the Papa Rav, to look into the lane next door and to be able to learn a Hanhaga Tova from someone else. Because again, we all say the same Kel Adon, but each person says it with his or own unique niggun. It's important to realize. You talk about Achtus. And at the end of the day, for all the things that separate Klal Yisrael, it's so, so important to just pause once in a while and to remind ourselves. And we have a lot more in common than we have that divides us. And in the world today, where unfortunately we're seeing, in some parts of the world more than others, but unfortunately too much all over the place, a resurgence of anti-Semitism in the world. Right? Klal Yisrael have to come together. And we have to realize that a Jew is a Jew. And a Jew is a Jew means that I care about my fellow Jew, even if they're totally different than me. Even if they're that backwards yud that I mentioned earlier on the back of the nun. A strange yud, a backwards yud. Right, but we still carry that fellow Jew. The Sri De'esh, Rabbi Chil Yaakov Weinberg, was once at a gathering in Berlin. A conference was held, great Rabbanim, great scholars discussing who is a Jew. A whole scholarly conference, who is a Jew? Who's considered a Jew? So people had all sorts of presentations. What defines a Jew? A Jew is defined by, a Jew is a religion. Not really a religion because there's people who are not religious and they're also Jews. So maybe a Jew is someone born to a Jewish mother. No, there's converts, those are also Jews. Maybe a Jew is defined by Shmiras HaMitzvot. No, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Afal Pishachat Yisraelu. Even a sinful Jew is a Jew. And people are getting up and saying, this is what a Jew is and that's what a Jew is. And as this whole conference is taking place, the Sri De'esh records, tells the story, that a simple Jew who was not part of the conference, not invited to be one of the keynote speakers, a simple Jew who was just serving as a waiter at this gathering, all of a sudden he hears speech after speech, people getting up, debating, what's a Jew? That's a Jew. All of a sudden, this Pashari Yid gets up. He screams out from the crowd. He's a waiter just serving the food at this conference. And he comes into the room and he screams out. He says, "What are you talking about? A Yid is a Yid. What are you debating? It's so complicated. Oh, this one wears this type of hat, or this one has this type of anhaga. A Jew is a Jew. You daven like this, you daven like that, a different nusach. A Jew is a Jew. A Jew is a Jew." And if Klai Yisrael would understand that in the deepest way, right, it would solve a lot of our problems. It always pains me so much. Whenever there's a tragedy, whenever something terrible is happening to Klai Yisrael, when a Yid is lost at sea, or a Jew is lost in the forest, like in recent weeks, all of a sudden everyone comes together. It doesn't matter what type of community you come from, everyone comes to join in the search efforts. Right? Rahman al-Litzan, if there's something terrible happening, you know, a terror attack, God forbid, in Eretz Yisrael, all of a sudden everyone responds, everyone comes together. Why do we only get together? Why do we have to get beat up for Klal Yisrael to understand that a Jew is a Jew? Why is it so hard for us sometimes to just pull together and to be Ohav in Zezu, Mechav in Zezu? Again, the words of the Tana de Be'aliyah, Hashem says, Ma ani mevakesh michem. That's the only thing I ask of you. Love each other and respect each other. I read a story one time. Lubavitch Chassid was traveling in upstate New York. They have shared this story in the past. Shalom Paltiel. And he pulls into a gas station. He sees a young man there in the gas station, doesn't look particularly Jewish. Teenage kid, you know, making a couple bucks in the summer, pumping gas. Pulls into the gas station, pulls up his car. This young man comes out, long hair, you know, some rock and roll t-shirt, some ripped jeans. Comes over, starts filling up his car, and he notices, he sees the rabbi's got his talis and tillin on the back seat. So he says to the rabbi, he says, Rabbi, you know, I'm Jewish. Oh, yeah? You're Jewish? I'm also Jewish. Very nice. So the kid says to him, the young man says to me, Rabbi, I see you have your tillin on the back seat. Yeah, that's tillin. It's true. It's correct. So the rabbi says to him, would you like to wear did you put on tefillin today? Would you like to put on tefillin? So he says to him very sheepishly, he says, you know, to be honest, I haven't worn tefillin since my bar mitzvah. It's been a couple of years. It's okay. You can wear my tefillin. I wouldn't feel comfortable wearing your tefillin. Why not? You're a fellow Jew. Of course you can wear my tefillin. Really? Yeah, 100%. So he takes out the tefillin, and he starts putting the tefillin, coupling it with the bracha. He's saying Shema. The kid is literally pumping gas with one hand and wearing tefillin on the other arm. Mamash, a ridiculous scene in the gas station. A car pulls by with a group of Hasidim, also up in the country, you know, getting some fresh air. Okay, so they also pull in to refill their car and to refill their snacks. And they see this ridiculous scene. And they're making funny faces, you know, like, this is a bizayon to the tefillin. It's not, you know, like, pumping gas with one hand, saying Shema with the tefillin. Bizayon. Okay. They finish up. Rosham Paltiel finishes up with the young man. He's so overjoyed. He gives him his phone number. If you ever want to learn, come for Shabbos. You know, who knows? Could be the beginning of a total return to Yiddishkeit. Anyways, as he's pulling out of the gas station, he pulls around the other side where those Hasidim in that car were giving him the funny faces. And he pulls up next to them. And he recognizes what type of Hasidim they were. Say, Sans Hasidim. The Mashal. Not picking on Sans, Chas V'Shalom. So he pulls up next to them and he sees, based on the way they're dressed, he knows which bungalow colony they're coming from, whatever it is. He says, okay. He rolls down, tells them, signals, roll down the window. They roll down the window. And he says to them, you know, Chavra, I saw you were making some funny faces. You thought it was, you didn't think it was appropriate what I was doing, the tefillin with the gas. Yeah, well, you know, it's not kavadik to the tefillin. So he says to them, he says, do you know who that boy is? No? You don't know who that boy is? So he says to him, he's a direct descendant of the Divrei Chaim of Sons. He's a Sanzer Einikel, a direct descendant of the Divrei Chaim of Sons. So now all of a sudden, oh, he's one of ours. Okay, good, good, you should makari with him, go back. You know, teach him Torah, invite him for Shabbat, make sure we're still in every day. Good, good. Gevaldik, okay, good. Oh, now, you know, now it's Rebbe Sheiches. Shalom Paltiel is about to pull out of the gas station. He turns to them and he says, my friends, holy brothers, my fellow Jews, I don't know who that kid is. I just met him a couple seconds ago. I don't know if he's a descendant of this Rebbe or that Rebbe. I don't know. But I can tell you one thing for sure. I can promise you he's a direct descendant of Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov. That's also Yichus. That's also someone who's worth caring about. Right? That's also someone who's more connected to us than whether he's part of this, you know, this Hasidus or that Hasidus or this Kila or that Kila. Right? Those are the basics. A Yid is a Yid. Again, like that Pashto waiter said at that conference in Berlin. A Jew is a Jew. And again, if we would recognize that, if we would just recognize, Ovin Zaza, Machab Zaza, maybe the 3 weeks would be transformed. Koshalai pre daschem, Hashem says. Again, Tisha B'Av corresponds to Shmini Atzeres. It's so hard for Hashem to watch us highlighting the differences between ourselves instead of focusing on the common ground that exists between us. I want to just end with two final points. Rav Shalom of Belz, the Sar Shalom of Belz, we'll dab mar 2 minutes. The Sar Shalom of Belz said that when we lane on Monday and Thursday, so we say a whole list of Yehi Ratzons after laning us, we're about to put back the Sefer Torah. And then we say, Acheinu Kol Beis Yisrael, right? So he said, why don't we begin the Acheinu Kol Beis Yisrael with a Yehi Ratzon? Yehi Ratzon, it should be, a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that Klal Yisrael should be, you know, protected. Me'afeil La'ora, Mishiva L'gula. Why don't we begin the Acheinu Kol Beis Yisrael? Why don't we begin that with a Yehi Ratzon? And the Belzer Rebbe said, because when it's Acheinu Kol Beis Yisrael, when Klal Yisrael come together, when Klal Yisrael are united, you don't need to say Yehi Ratzon. It should be Hashem's will. The Sar Shalom of Belz said it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. When Jews love each other, it's guaranteed that things are going to work out. Like we said in the Birchas Chodesh, Mivarchim Shabbos Chodesh yesterday. Right? Chaveirim Kol Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring the Geula, but the key is Chaveirim Kol Yisrael. That Jews should just recognize who we are and be connected to one another. The last Mishnah, Maseches Uksin, in the third parak of Uksin, Mishnah Yud Beis. Lo matza Kadosh Baruch Hu kli machzik bracha li Yisrael ela ha-shalom. Again, the parsha began with shalom. Pinchas was given a bris shalom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, lo matza Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem has not found a kli. The Sfarim say, kli is Rashi Tevos, Kohanim, Leviim, Yisraelim. The kli that's machzik bracha is shalom. So I saw an amazing mashal from a great Moroccan sage, Rav Yosef Mesas. He passed away in the 1970s. He said, once upon a time there was a yid who went down to his field, and he saw he had a beautiful harvest, his vineyard of grapes. And he wants to gather the grapes. He starts gathering the grapes, and he realizes that the bucket to transport the grapes back to his house has holes in it. And the holes are rather large, and every time he puts a grape into the bucket, all of a sudden the grapes fall out of the bucket. And he's thinking, what am I going to do? I can't be mavater on these beautiful grapes. I need to bring them home. If I go home and get a bucket that's functioning, who knows, by then someone might come and steal my grapes. He's trying to figure out what to do. And a wise man comes along and says to him, I see you have a problem here. Your bucket hardly has a bottom to it. And you have these beautiful grapes and you want to bring them home. So I'll give you an etzah. He said, if you pack the grapes together really tight, if you squeeze them into the bucket really tight so the grapes are what? Are supporting one another, so to speak, then they'll be able to stay together in the bucket even with all the holes in the bottom of the bucket. Explain the great Moroccan Chacham, Rav Yosef Mesas. He said that when Klal Yisrael packed together, lo matza kodesh baruch hu kli machzik bracha. Sometimes the kli has holes in it. Sometimes there's some holes in our avodas Hashem that causes some of the bracha that Hashem wants to give us to slip through. But when Klal Yisrael packed together, that's really the secret of the bein hamitzarim between the narrow straits. When the Jews are in cramped quarters, what means that we're squished together, and that's a good thing. Then we support one another, and then we're able to hopefully bring home the bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in mind for each and every one of us. The Gemara says in Maseches Shavuos that Kol Yisrael arevim ze bazeh. Shavuos daf lamed tesem et aleph. And Rav Elia Meir Bloch, the great Rosh Hashiva from Telz, used to say, people often misquote the Maimar Chazal. Look at the Gemara carefully. It's Kol Yisrael arevim ze bazeh, not ze laza. It's ze bazeh. Which means that the Jews are what? That they're arevim ze bazeh. Mamish intertwined with one another. To be pressed up against each other. Totally connected. Whereas the Baal HaTanya writes in Parshas Nitzavim that the Jewish people have to view themselves as one body, that our souls are made up of one large body, each person playing a different role. Just like a body has a hand and a heart and a head, so too different Jews play different roles, but it all makes up one body. And like the mashal of the Talmud Yerushalmi, if God forbid a person is cutting meat and the knife slips and this hand harms this hand, is this hand going to fight back? That's how foolish it is, says the Baal HaTanya, when Jews fight against one another. We're fighting against each other, that we're interwoven with each other, ze bazeh, that we're connected. And again, when the Jews are pressed together, that allows that bracha to come down to this world. So again, it's not an easy balance to be able to have healthy individual expression in our avodas Hashem, to be able to be proud of our own kehillah and our own community and our own way, our own derech in avodas Hashem. But again, like Yosef warned the brothers, al tirgazu baderech. Don't become agitated by someone who has a different derech in avodas Hashem. Recognize that the commonalities that we share are much more than the differences that divide us. And Amir Tashem, if we can respect each other, again, Ovin Zaza, Machabdin Zaza, then there won't be a need for that period which is so painful for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that the Bein HaMetzarim should help us to squeeze together, that Klal Yisrael should link arms on the way back to Yerushalayim for the Gula Shleim of Mehera B'Yameinu.
Mm-hmm.